Matthew 21, starting at verse 18. Early in the morning, as he was on his way, we're talking about our Lord Jesus, amen? He was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. And then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." And immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" they asked. And Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Lord, we are a people of need. Lord, we are a people who blanch from the rain, surrounded by challenge, surrounded by problem. Lord, sometimes we huddle up in a corner. Lord, help us to reach out a hand to you. Help us to reach out in the midst of our challenge that we can indeed connect with you and connect with heaven in faith, Lord. Everyone said? Well, Friday we went up for graduation, and it was crying. There was all kinds of drama going on. But I want to talk to you about last Friday, week ago Friday. My daughter came home. She drove up to Fresno with her boyfriend Sam, and they went to visit my mom and bring her back down for the graduation, go to a concert and all that stuff. And she came down and brought me her BMW. And she had been talking about the BMW, that it was having problems, that it shakes. It shakes when you go fast. And it shakes when you go slow. And Dad, it just shakes all the time like it's going to explode. And I said, well, bring that BMW down when you got a minute, and I'll take a look at it for you. And then she handed me the keys and said, "Oh, Dad, the AC's not working either." And so it was Friday morning. My wonderful dear wife was up at a retreat, so JJ was fast asleep. It was Saturday morning. She came down Friday night. JJ was asleep on his bed. And I'm thinking, if I'm going to do this, I can't do the AC. I got to take it to the shop. I got to get this thing in the shop right now. And so I drove the 1.5 miles. From my house to the mechanic over here on University and 45th. And you might wonder why I know it was 1.5 miles. Well, I know because I checked it after I got back. Because I ran home. Such is the love that I have for my daughter. And such is the confidence I had in my physical abilities, being that I use the elliptical 30 minutes a day, maybe 5 days a week. I can handle 1.5 miles. And you know what? I got back and I was okay. I'd like walk a few times. Okay, that's okay. I made it. And but Sunday morning. Last Sunday morning, we were preaching on Antichrist, tribulation. Anybody pay attention last week? Yeah. And I noticed after church, I went down those stairs, and my thighs. It's like there was no strength in my thighs. And I thought, well, a small price to pay for my wonderful, and to connect with my daughter through care. And then Sunday afternoon, I was indeed working on her motor and discovered, oh, the fan is messed up and the fan clutch is messed up. And I went to the junkyard and found a new fan clutch. And as I was walking around the junkyard, I noticed that my shins began to scream out to me. 1.5 miles. And the backs of my calves. But such is the sacrifice I would make for my daughter. And then Monday morning, my back and my thighs and my calves. Oh, the sacrifice I make for my daughter. And Tuesday morning, my upper back and my whole torso. And Wednesday was worse. And Thursday, I discovered aspirin. I began to heal. But my daughter was happy. Riding back to L.A. Dad, it's so comfortable in my car. Air conditioner's on it, and it shakes no more. Connected through my daughter, through care. Amen? We're talking about connecting through Christ, connecting with Christ, and we are indeed connected to God by His care. He cares for us, and we connect with Him through faith. Can I get a witness on that? Now, we're going to talk about prayer, and I have a question for you today. If you could ask God for one miracle, and you knew God would do it, would you ask Him? Amen. Would you ask Him? I have some things. I want you, if you got a piece of paper, we have notes in the back. We got little notes in the back. We got expanded notes in the back. You should get some of those to keep track and answer questions like this when I ask them. But I want you to write down on something, or just write it on your hand or remember it in your head. Something, what is that one miracle? What is the greatest pressing need that you have in your life today? I have some options for you. Something to spur your thought. Would you pray for your marriage? Would you pray about your job? Would you pray about a straying son or daughter? Would you pray about something in your body? Did you run 1.5 miles yesterday? Would you pray to God about your finances? Would you pray to God about a loved one? Take a minute and consider what you might go to the Lord for if you were going to ask Him for a miracle and you knew that He would answer your prayer. Write that down someplace. Got that? Got that in your head? Put your hand up. You got something. I'm assuming that the Spanish is coming through. Whatever that request is, do you regularly and urgently bring it before the Lord in prayer? Many of us have to admit that we don't pray that often about our deepest need. We lose heart. We begin to pray and lose focus. We begin to repeat ourselves and repeat platitudes, and it begins to sound shallow and hollow, and we begin to sound like a hypocrite. And we just think, you know, it'd just be easier to do it on. We don't pray as we ought to. Our prayers are weak because our faith. We know nothing is impossible with God. Amen? Amen? Amen. I mean, you read that in the Bible, right? Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. And we know that. But the question is, how many of us know what is possible with God? See, we know nothing's impossible. We don't know what is possible because we're not connected to the Lord through prayer. We're going to talk about making that connection with Christ. God connects with us through care. And we connect with God through faith. Shall we take a look? Amen? 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 Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, here we go. 1 Peter, God gives us an opportunity to connect. Your Father, your Creator in heaven, wants to connect with you. Had this kid come into my office yesterday, getting ready to preach this. And he says, you know, I just want to connect with the Lord. I just want to do this stuff. And I said, really? I said, have you been reading? He goes, yeah, I'm reading a little bit of Job right now. And I said, dude, you don't need Job right now. I said, you need to read Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. It'd take you 4 hours. Well, I find Job intriguing. I said, yeah, it's intriguing. It's really good. But you don't need Job right now. Job is way complex. I'm not finding I'm connected with God. And I said, no, we've been talking for 4 months. I told you 4 months ago, read Luke, read John, read Acts, and read Romans. You haven't read one. I said, how many hours did you work out last week? You work out 4 hours? Yeah. I said, don't tell me you want to connect with God. Because in 4 months, you can't put in 4 hours for Him. Amen. Sorry, I preached this twice already, and I didn't put that in there. He was going to be here. I'm going to be there tomorrow. He lives up the block. He lives 2 houses away. The great monsoon of 2017 kept him away from the Lord. This is not in my notes. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 3. God wants to connect with you. Amen? Amen? Here we go. For the eyes of the Lord, I love this scripture. It's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. Does it get any better than that, folks? It don't get any better than that. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God is paying attention. God is paying attention to you. God wants to hear from you. God is watching what you are doing in your life. Now, if God is paying attention, why is prayer such a challenge? That first part is good. Man, it makes the Lord sound like Santa. Man, we love a God that looks like Santa. It's the backside of that prayer that gives us challenge. Because He says, those who do evil, God turns His face away from. See, when you come in proximity to God, when you walk into the most holy place, when you walk into the throne room of God, your evil is a boundary, a barrier between you and the Lord. Amen? Your evil becomes a challenge. Your sin becomes a challenge. Nobody wants to be challenged. You walk into the throne room of God, into the presence of God, and things change. I come near to God and I see how big and mighty and awesome He is. Amen? Amen? And I see how small and insignificant I am. My smallness, my sin becomes apparent. And I don't want to come into the proximity of God. Many people are challenged with being small. Many of people are challenged with surrender. But it is in surrender that you enter into the presence of God. Amen. And it is the presence of God which transforms you. Amen? Amen? You have to question yourself, how much do I want to change? I told that kid yesterday, I don't think you want to change very much. You just want God to come in and make your life nice. And you want to change. Oh, I'm willing to change. I said, dude, 4 months, you haven't even read. Still not in my notes. Be changed. We enter into the presence of God through faith. Amen? Yeah. All right. 1 Peter, jump over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15. If you want to keep track with these verses rather than flipping your Bibles, we got notes back there. All these scriptures are in those notes. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. You want to be confident in the presence of God? If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That's nice, right? And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. God releases His power in those who ask. It is our prayer, it is our faith that unlocks the power of God. Now, in our hearts, we know that if we're going to tie into the power of heaven, we got to pray. Amen? Hudson Taylor, big time missionary. When we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. It is a challenge for God to release his power in the life of somebody who puts his hand in their pocket and says, God, I think I can work it out on my own. Can I get a witness? You know that to be true. You know that to tie into the presence of God, you got to have a focus on him. God releases his power through those who are connected. The prevailing power of God is a byproduct of our relationship with him. How close do you want to be? How much do you want? Because the closer you are to him, the more he reveals himself to you. You want to know God? Pray. You want to understand God? Pray. Prayer provides the most dynamic connection we have with God. You can learn all about God by reading his word. And I suggest that you do. But you can meet God. You can grow intimate with God. You can connect with God in prayer. Dynamic one-on-one connection. We connect with God in our prayer life. What are you doing next Saturday at 5? I suggest you wipe off your calendar and come down and join us in prayer, because you will meet the Lord and you will understand more about him. Amen? I put this questionnaire up there a few minutes ago and asked you to fill out your greatest need. Well, I filled out my greatest need. And my greatest need is my 5-year or thereabout long battle with diabetes. I talked about it last week. My doctor said that I should become a vegetarian. And I said, well, I already don't eat potatoes and rice and bread and beans and all that stuff. And I said, if I eat meat, I can eat those things. He goes, no, you can't eat those either. Well, I ain't gonna have nothing left to eat. And so I said, Lord, I need healing in my body. You know, I don't pray that much about my diabetes. I take my meds, I do my exercise, I watch my diet, but I don't pray that much about my diabetes. And that's changing. Now, when I reach out to God in faith, saying, Lord, heal my body, it means I'm going to keep up my end. I'm going to keep on watching my diet. I'm going to keep on working my meds. I'm going to keep on doing my exercise. But I am also going to exercise faith that Jesus would heal me. Amen? Amen? Now, you have weathered the great storm of 2017. You are going to be the first to be made aware of the CHAG prayer page. You high five that person next to you. You're going to be first. You're first, yeah. This has been in beta for about a month and a half now. And yesterday, did anybody see this, by the way? Miss Dana did, because she runs that thing, yes. Right there, CHAG prayer page. Pastor Bob, please prayer for complete healing of my diabetes. God is able. Amen? Now, that is not what I wrote. I'm training you now on the CHAG prayer page, okay? Okay? All right. Now, I'm not a big Facebook guy, but even I could do this. My prayer is over there. All right? This is like that's visitor post right there. You go over there and you write something, and it shows up over here. And our prayer team leader, CHAG prayer page leader, that lady right there, will basically take that visitor post and put it on the main page. Okay? So you go to CHAG prayer page. You like it. I don't particularly know how all that works, but do it. All right? Like that page. Every time something pops up, where's my little red button? Goes over there. There we go. Every time something pops up there, you'll get a notification in Facebook so that you can pray for me. And you got that thing, the greatest need in your life. You go on to, you're going to let the Lord know about that, amen? Right? He says, make your request be made known. Amen? Amen. Prayer and supplication. We'll talk about that in just a minute. You're going to let people around you know. See, so you can go on that page and you can start praying for me. And you put your greatest need on that page and I can start praying for you. And we can start praying for one another. And guess what? Heaven's going to wear your greatest need and God begins to move. Amen? Amen. Chag prayer page. Like it. Post on it. Dan, I'll pay attention. Everybody will be praying. Amen? Got it? Maybe we need to. And he wants us to understand our connection with God. I'm going to tell you a parable here. Because many of us have an incorrect perception of prayer. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. See, I gave up praying on diabetes. Don't give up. Amen? He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see she gets justice. So that she won't eventually come and attack me. Many have an incorrect picture of prayer. We're going to work on that today. Amen? We've got three players in the parable. We got the widow, we got the adversary, and we got the judge. The widow is all alone. She's got no place to turn to. The adversary. Everybody has an adversary. Amen? My adversary, as I just mentioned, is my diabetes. And then we're talking about the judge. Does not care about God and does not care about people. Doesn't sound like a very good judge to me. Amen? Now, the woman has no other option for justice except for the judge. So she's going to wear him down. She's just going to keep on coming and coming. And the judge says, oh, this lady's getting ripped off. But I don't care. I'm not going to do anything. But he says, man, this lady is wearing me out. She might attack me. This crazy old lady's going to attack me one day, take her cane and start whooping on me. So I'm going to make sure she gets justice. Now, we put ourselves in the parable. Okay? We're the widow, and God is the judge. But Jesus doesn't want us to do that. Well, number one, we are not alone. Amen? God says, I will we're not alone. Amen. Thank you very much. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And God cares about what you think. God sent his son to die on a cross to pay for your sin. Do you think he cares about you? Amen? Yes, he does. So, let's take a second and figure out what Jesus is talking about in this parable. Amen? So he says, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? There's a contrast there. Listen to what the judge says, and then let's talk about God. Amen? He says, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see they get justice and slowly. No. No. See, the judge worked slow. How does God work? Quick. Oh, he works quick. He says he'll get justice quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? See, Jesus is going to make this clear. He says, God, not the judge. And you're not the widow. Let's get some stuff out here. He says, God's going to bring justice for his chosen. Amen? Bible tells us that God knows our prayers before we even ask. He is paying attention. His eyes are upon our righteous and his ears are tuned for their prayer. Amen? And you might say, well, what about the Christians in Syria, in Iraq, in China, in Vietnam, in North Korea? What about them? What about the lady up in Escondido? Got shot. Was Escondido right? Got shot coming home from church? What's up with that? You know what? I don't know. But I tell you what, God has got justice that goes on outside of that courtroom that we're reading about in the parable. Amen? That God has solutions that exist outside the natural realm. And that when we enter into prayer, we are entering into the supernatural realm. Amen? How many of you plan on hitting heaven? When you get to heaven, you run up to a Christian that came out of China, Vietnam, North Korea, Iraq, or Syria. Say, hey, man, were you ripped off by God? And I will guarantee you, they said, you know what? God had something else going on that I didn't realize. But he took me straight to heaven. Amen? Amen. I was never ripped off by our Lord. He says, you'll get justice. You'll get justice quickly. Now, he says about those who pray day and night. He don't mean that you need to pray day and night and wear out God. He means that you can cry out anytime. You cry out during the day, the Lord is listening. You cry out at night, the Lord is listening. Can I get a witness on that? And he says that God has an answer quickly. We are his chosen. He is close to us. It is his care for us that makes a connection, and it is our faith in him that connects us to him. Amen? Jesus says, will the Son of Man find faith? When I come back, will there be any connection at all with heaven? And the answer we don't connect, or the reason we don't connect, is because we're not getting yeses. But he never says he's going to give you a yes. He says he's going to hear you. You pray according to his will, you get a yes. But sometimes we don't pray according to his will. My daughter called me 10 days ago before she came back with a shaken hot car. And she said, Dad, I'm graduating from college, and I think it's time for me to get a new car. And she has saved up some money, which is good. And I'm like, okay, that's good. And we had talked about her plan. She wants to move back down to San Diego. Yay! Yay. But not with mom and dad. She wants to have her own place. And her mom's going, no. And she wants to get a big girl job with a big girl salary. Can I get a witness on that? And I said, so what about moving down to San Diego and getting the big girl job? She said, well, I'm working on that. And I said, well, realistically, you probably need to work on that before you get your new car. Because getting your big girl job and getting moved down here is going to take a little bit of resources. Talking resources, I mean money. Can I get a witness on that? And if you spend all your money on a new car, it might get in the way of your midterm and near goals for getting that new job and getting that new place. So what you need to do is continue working on your big girl job and getting your new place and put off that car. And guess what? She was not happy with me. Dad, can't you just tell me what kind of car to get? No. I'll tell you what kind of job to get. Your mom would love it if you moved back home. No! I got to go, Dad. I'll see you later. Yeah, sometimes that's when we end our prayers with our Lord. No! He says no. You know, a quick answer does not always mean a quick yes. Sometimes he says, no, man, there's other stuff going on. There's stuff that I got going on you don't even know about. I got to tell you no. I got to tell you not right now. So your plan for the car was good. But her timing was not good. Will the Son of Man find faith? Because it's faith that makes our connection with God. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. All right, all right, all right. Here we go. Prayer changes things. Guess what? Prayer changes you. Yes. Amen? All right. James chapter 4. This is tough sledding. I want you to know right off the bat. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Think about that for a second. What causes fights and quarrels in my life? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, you desire, you want. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have, because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Prayer is often not motivated by faith. When we ask God, we want to get over on God. We want to manipulate God. I want to get what I want when I want it, and then I want to get out. James presents a picture of our prayer life like a drug addict. Do anything that they can do to get a fix and then move on down the road. And that is not how the Lord has set up prayer. He puts us living in City Heights or Texas that's got real storms and real issues. Can I get a witness on that? And you know what? The challenges of our life are intended to draw us closer to the Lord. But as we draw close to the Lord, there's some things we've got to leave behind. And so often, you know, it's like, no, man, I don't want to leave it behind. I just want to get what I want when I want it. What's driving your prayer life? What are you trying to get from God? See, God opens the door, but I have to ask you, what are you praying for? Our prayer is intended to build relationship and intimacy with God. And underlying all this is a desire for the intimacy. And James says, you don't want intimacy with God, you just want stuff. See, our desire for stuff is supposed to give us more, is supposed to give us God. We come to God for stuff and we get Him. We come to God for stuff and we get the things of God. And we are transformed by proximity to Him. And because we have no desire for intimacy and we have no intimacy with God, we get no answer. God says, you're just trying to rip me off. So we go our own way. We said, man, I can get this answer someplace else, Lord. I don't have to be small. I don't have to submit. I don't have to surrender. I can just go over here and get all my needs met from the Social Security man, from the WIC man, food stamp. That's not at all what the Lord is looking for. Last thing I'll tell you. God gives more than an answer. Amen? We draw near to God, we are changed. We draw near to God, and we find Him. We look for stuff, we find Him. It happened to Paul. The Apostle Paul, breathing out murderous threats against the church, working for God, Jew of a Pharisee of Pharisee, a Jew of Jews, bringing out attack on the church. See, Paul had the things of God, but he didn't have God. And it was on the road to Damascus where Jesus reveals Himself to Paul. And Paul bends a knee and he says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. And he is blinded. And the Lord says, go to Damascus, meet a guy. And 3 days later, he meets Ananias and he is miraculously healed. And his life is changed because he meets the Lord. Amen? He says, everything I considered as gain, I now consider garbage compared to knowing Christ my Lord. Does an about face in his life. Puts a focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is transformed. He says, I want to know the power of the resurrection. Amen? And because of that change, he wants everybody else to know. I keep asking, he writes to the church in Ephesus, I keep asking the Lord, of the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may He give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. It's all about the connection. Amen? So that you may know him better. I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. We connect through faith. My big question for you today, how close do you want to get to God? Because the closer you get, the more you understand him. Paul says, I want to know the power of the resurrection. I want to know Jesus. Do you want that? At least you can come up and play. It's not a contest. It's not like only Caleb and Aaron, because they're closest to the front, are going to make it. Everybody can make it. There's enough power. There's enough resource in heaven. Jesus has enough focus and concentration and mental power, spiritual power, to have every one of us come right into the throne room of God, let our request be made known to him, and to grant us our prayers all at the same time. So it's not like we got to nudge one another out. No, we can help each other to the front. We can help each other into the connection with Christ. The question is, how much do you have going on in your life that keeps you from drawing near to God? I mean, we come into the throne room of God. There's stuff, man, that we gotta let go because it's in the way. We're thinking, no, ho. Hey, what are you talking about here, Lord? You want all that? And he says, I got the resources of heaven. I created the universe. And you're holding back because of that? Really? Will the Son of Man find faith when he returns? He's wondering. How close do you want to be to God? What is that big, giant issue in your life that you need a miracle from heaven? And are you willing to ask? Are you willing to come close to the Lord, to embrace him, to see how small you are and how giant and big he is? Can you deal with smallness today? Because some of you say, I don't want to be small. I won't bend a knee to nobody. King dog right here. And that's our problem. But I found in my life, King Dog is small. King Dog can't even jog a mile and a half. They're falling apart. And so many of us are just living a lie. We lie to ourselves. And that lie keeps us from God. Amen? How close do you want to get to God? What's holding you back? See, right up here, that throne room. You might go in every day. It's still good. You might be used to it. It's still good. Amen? I tell you what, I get up here and kneel down at the end of service. You know, I preach a service twice already. Kind of liking it. It's me and God. I'll be preaching. Oh, not that. At the end of the service, I come up here, it can just be me. It's never just me, it's me and God. And it's so good. It's like, oh, I'm singing. I'm just going, keep on singing, Lisa. Yeah. Me and Jesus. We're going to close our time up today, and we're going to sing some song. Click on the next song we're going to do there, Danny. It's some great song. We picked it out. What is the song, Danny?
Great Are You, Lord.
Great Are You, Lord. Who? You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. Anybody can use a little light in the darkness today?
Yes.
Oh, glory, glory, glory. I'll tell you what. You want to have a celebration. Worship team come up. You want to have a celebration? You and God? I invite you. Bend a knee. Bend a knee now. If all the knees are done bent, there isn't any more altar room, you can stand and lift a hand. Amen? And I'm just telling you, there's a spiritual connection that happens with God through faith, through surrender, through submission. And I invite you this morning, come and make a connection. But I'll tell you what, if it's just me, I'm going to bend a knee because I want to make a connection. Amen? Amen? Stand. We're going to pray. I invite you to come. Bend a knee. Make a connection with the Lord this morning.